In my first ministry, I was told by an older gentleman preacher with a lot of experience, always carry a sermon in your pocket. And I never understood it until one day, the guest speaker didn't show up. The senior minister had been fired because he didn't like the plants that they bought for Mother's Day. Serious to me. And the elders come and said, "Oh, you got 25 minutes, you'll be preaching today's sermon." I always carry a sermon in my pocket. So that to say least, Pam, thank you for carrying that CD in your pocket. Because she had about zero time to practice and did a wonderful job. I've not heard that before. We are in the book of 2 Timothy. Paul's address to this young follower of his, follower of Jesus and teacher that he prepared. We pick up in the first chapter, and in verse 8, I want to read the following. "Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but rather join me in the suffering of the gospel by the power of God. For he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace." Lord, we ask for that grace. Not because we deserve it, because we couldn't earn it, but because Christ had already paid the price for us. So let us be anxious to gather it, to use it, and appreciate what all has been done. We pray for a troubled world today. Famines, floods, storms, diseases, pestilence, and viruses. All the things that give us fear. Let us see through that fear and realize these things are only temporary. Because one day we'll be with Jesus. And let us dwell on that fact. For our missionaries and military, bless them. Be with them in foreign fields and with their family back home. For our first responders and those who help us, our teachers, medical people, bless them as well. Bless those, Father, who have gone before us, not only in the fight for freedom of the country, but also in the fight for the freedom from Satan and sin. Let us make the church strong by giving it to Jesus. Be with the speaker now. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. In prison for what he had not done. For Paul's sin that got him arrested and tried illegally and incarcerated, not once but multiple times, got him stoned, got him shipwrecked, etc., was that he talked the truth about Jesus. And sometimes people do not want to hear the truth. So they try to blame those who are telling the truth. In our Wednesday study in the book of Jeremiah last week, those who did not want to hear the doom that God had predicted upon Israel came to Jeremiah to tell him to stop. And they tried by besmirching him and running him down and making fun of him and threatening him. But Jeremiah couldn't do anything but tell the truth. That's the job that Paul called on Timothy to do, was to tell the truth. And that's the call that Paul is applying to all of us, to first know the truth. And it's easy to know the truth. It's here. We don't need to take a lifetime course at a college. We don't need to spend all day long listening to records or all day long listening to television, radio shows. We need to know Jesus as our best friend and our big brother. And in doing so, we will be convinced that since it is the truth, we can't do anything but that. And that's what Paul is telling young Timothy. Now, Timothy's in a strange land. He was a half Greek, half Jew. But he was out going around with all the infidels preaching and teaching them about the love of Christ. Christ saved us and called us to a holy life. He didn't say, "Go do what you want to do and forgiveness is coming. You know, eat, drink, and be merry," as Epicurus said, "for tomorrow we may die." No, he said, live that holy life. You don't have to apologize a lot if you don't do what's wrong. Now, Jesus is there to forgive us, but why should we put any extra burden upon him? The grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. We spoke last week how Christ was there with God when he created the world. Let us make man in our image. So Christ was there from the beginning. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and nothing that was made without Jesus, without the Word. So he's been there and a part of it. He deserves all the credit we can give him because it all came from him anyway. So the grace that was brought to us by his sacrifice upon the cross has not changed. It does not have an expiration date. I think that may be about two things in the world that don't have an expiration date. One is the love of Jesus, and the other one's a can of Spam. The one of Jesus is a lot more important, I must say. But what we have to understand is it's there for us. All we have to do is take the living waters are for us. We're very fortunate. Matter of fact, we even live in a very important area in the United States. For it was in Florida that, was it Ponce de Leon, came looking for the river water of life, the fountain of youth. I think he was right. I mean, I look at Ponte Gorda, and I know how old some of you are, and you look a lot younger than you told me you really are. So we may be in the fountain of youth down here. At least it's the liquid sunshine or the warmth. I don't know what it is. Shoveling snow may have a lot to do with it. It sure seemed to age me those 3 years in Chicago. But we've got a blessing that we need to draw upon. It's for our own good. And the blessing, it comes from Jesus, and we should share it everywhere we go. And I said share it. I didn't say spare it. I said share it. Full measures that were given to us, we should give to others. It was revealed through the Savior, who has destroyed death and has brought life, immortality, to light through the gospel. We do know that all the way back in the book of Genesis, that little thing we call the serpent, the snake, the devil, Beelzebub, find a name, it's okay, brought sin into the world by convincing that Adam and Eve, first Eve and then Adam, that if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would be equal to God. Sin came. And though God punished them and threw them out of the Garden of Eden, told Adam he would have to work, she would have to have pain of childbearing, he also gave an answer, a hope, a life jacket, something they can look forward to, of the day that God's son, mankind, son of Adam and Eve through birth, would, though bit by the snake on his heel, would destroy and crush the snake's head. That happened at Calvary. That happened, you know, Easter's coming up already. We've already gone through 2 months of this year. Easter's only about 5 weeks away, six. I hate Easter. Because it means half of y'all be going back north. I wish Easter would be July the 4th and it'd get cold up there on July the 5th and you'd have to come back. But I didn't have that choice, so we'll go with it this way. But Satan was destroyed at the cross. Now, he's still active today, but his ability to rule mankind is gone. He cannot overcome God's kingdom. We need to understand that. We have our own free choice. We're not puppets. We're not marionettes. Is it Geico with the Pinocchio thing? That's not the dumbest commercial on TV, but it's close. But if you remember all the way back, Geppetto had made his little wooden friend, and he was a marionette. He had strings on him, and he could only do what the puppet master made him do. We're not controlled by the puppet master. Satan cannot make us do anything we choose not to do, nor prevent us from loving God. And that's the promise that Paul is trying to teach Timothy, to teach the people, that God rules. Christ has overcome death, and it will be that way for us. The immortality is a wonderful thing to live for. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. The word herald basically is an announcer. Do you remember at the time of the birth of Christ? Remember that song we sing in November, December, hark, the herald angels sing. They're announcing the coming of Christ. Paul is now announcing the response of Christ's coming. Not the coming of him, but what happened after he came. And that is salvation. He's announced that. He was appointed a teacher and an apostle. one with special talents and gifts from God to prove his authority to work. And we can take it from those who give us example in the book of Acts and several other Paul's writings and teachings of what God wants us to do. We are not left alone. We have a manual. I'm an electrician by my other trade, and I got a job the other day that three guys walked off of because they couldn't do it. This guy bought a big fan, like a big old, like big motor that runs a big fan that sucks poison out of the room. Let me know before you start the fan. The problem was it was used and had no instructions whatsoever. I didn't have a guidebook. Dwight was lost. Till I got that old cell phone out and I called 1-800 so-and-so motors and I talked to them and they gave me another number and they gave me another number. I figured out tomorrow I may either fix it or break it. One of the two has got to happen. If you hear a preacher in the hospital, it wasn't the fixing that worked. We are appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. He's in prison. He's locked down. Have you ever been in a cave? Remember when the Boy Scout, the Tiwanese or something like that, Boy Scouts were stuck in that cave, in that underground cavern, and water came up, and they were there for days and days? I bet you that was not the most comfortable vacation they have ever had. In Kentucky, the caves are 56 degrees, 24/7, 365. Now, 56 sounds really good for about 5 minutes, but you can imagine for days upon days upon that. I'm sure it had to break Paul's body down somewhat. Chains around his feet, chains around his arms, so he couldn't escape. Roman soldiers there to guard him, that if he tried to escape, they were just going to kill him because they didn't care. They were there to make sure he didn't escape. That was their job. Yet Paul did not let that break him, because he knew what he was doing was serving Jesus. Wherever he was and whatever he was doing, he was there to serve Jesus. Now this is the guy who had learned under the best teachers the Jews had. He was very advanced in his knowledge and his skills and his learning about ancient Hebrew. But Jesus got hold of him, and he changed his ways and his life for that. So Paul said, I'm suffering as I am, yet this is no cause for shame. There was a teacher in one of our schools that had a wall of shame on the wall. We're elementary. If you talked out of turn, if you chewed gum, if you brought your Barlow, boys, you know what a Barlow pocket knife is, if you'd have brought that to class, whatever, you didn't do your homework, the dog ate the paper, nobody believed you, your name would go up there in the doghouse. It was called the Wall of Shame. You don't want to be there. That's not nice. But Paul bore the shame. Because I know that I have believed. I know, it says, in whom I have believed, and am convinced that I have, that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him against that day. I grew up King James. Any of you ever heard of King James? The King James to me is a lot more poetic. Some of you probably got it one. Let's read it this way. Paul says, "For I know whom I believed, who I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Who did Paul believe in? Jesus. What did he do? He believed in Jesus, the saving power and the grace of Jesus. And Jesus will not let Paul's dedication or any other person's dedication who have confessed Jesus, baptized in the watery grave of baptism, risen to walk anew, filled with the Holy Spirit, he will not let those people fail. You can walk away from God, but God will never walk away from you. You can walk away and deny Jesus, but Jesus will never walk away from you. And that's what Paul is saying. And we need to have confidence in that. And to what day? The day of judgment. He's keeping our names. He has our spirit, our souls, until the day of judgment. Then we'll be released in heaven to have a beautiful homecoming event. Bill Gaither's group used to be the Gaither Trio, I think. Now it's called the Bill Gaither Homecoming. Did you ever go to a homecoming? Get to see people you haven't seen in a long time? We did our 50th class reunion last October the 11th. Those people got old. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Polycarp and Hermogenes. They were supposed to have followed him, had taken care of him. But when he gets in prison, when his name's on the blacklist, when he's been shamed in the eyes of the Roman government and the Jewish congregation, the synagogues, they walked away. They didn't want to share Paul anymore. He wasn't the bright star. I got AOL. I don't know why I've got AOL, but I've had it for over 30 years. And about every two or three days, they'll put, where did so-and-so go? What happened to this star? What happened to that one? They fell off the face of the earth when they were so popular. People deserted them. Well, Hollywood will not hire this actor or that actor. Well, Paul's friends left him too. The close ones that were supposed to be with him, they walked away when he got in trouble, when he wasn't helping them out. Everyone in the province of Asia deserted me. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Nesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. When they came back, a lot of Jews, both in Israel and Germany and America, only wore long sleeve shirts. I knew one of them very well. His name is Norman Wydes. One day, I asked him, Norman, why? It's 85 degrees. You're working in a scrapyard. Why are you wearing a long sleeve shirt? Well, he knew I was a preacher. He opened up his shirt, pulled up his arm, and there was about 8 numbers written right above his right wrist. He had been tattooed when he was taken into, I think it was Auschwitz, it may have been Dachau. He had been tattooed by the German SS people. He was not wanting it to be seen. To have lived through a German camp like that meant you must have been a collaborator, and that they had given you extra food or let you get away with things that all the millions who died did not. Until one day his men accused Norman. Norman was a Jew, I told you that, of being prejudiced against anybody that wasn't a Jew. Most of his men were African American. So Norman sat down and told them the story all at one time of why he wore his sleeves long and how they had marched to the Nazis, had marched them to the death camp, and how hundreds and hundreds of his friends had been killed because they believed in Jehovah God. They never accused him of anything anymore. And he was never ashamed anymore. He wore short sleeve shirts to prove that he was a survivor. That's what we are. The devil is the army that's working against us every day. And he's trying to take us down and find our weaknesses. And what we've got to understand is he can't take salvation from us. And we're going to be overcomers. And we're going to be survivors. Because one day Jesus, at that day of judgment, will wrap those nail-scarred hands around us with that brotherly hug that a lot of families still do. And say, welcome home. Welcome home, my good and faithful servant. We won't be ashamed of his scars either. Nor will he. May the Lord show mercy. God shows us mercy every day. We do not realize how good we are, how well off we are, because a lot of things that could have happened to us hasn't. And when bad things happen to us, he gives us a way to overcome it and work through it. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me and found me. Paul's in a cave. He's in a prison cell. A private prison cell, more likely. But you know, a good friend doesn't give up. And he didn't. And he searched far and wide to find Paul, because he wanted to be with him and share with him and see if he could comfort. Do we ever go out of our way to help somebody? Somebody in need? We give you plenty of opportunities here. Connie was talking about the baby bottles that we try to help the young women who are considering an abortion to spare that life, because there's so much potential ahead. May the Lord grant me, may the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. Once again, the day of judgment. And you know very well how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. Paul didn't ask for help. Paul could have been released from prison, just as Peter and John had been more than once. An angel could have broken those chains without thinking about them. The door on the prison that held him in could have been wide open without him thinking about it. The pathway of the guards that would have tried to attack and kill Paul, they could have been frozen as the guards were there at the tomb when they were watching Jesus to make sure someone didn't steal his body. All these things could have happened. But Paul didn't ask for them. He asked for mercy for his friends and help that they need. He asked for grace for all of us. Because Paul, let me give you a little history about Paul. I'm sure you remember this. Paul was a devout Jew. It was Paul that was standing at the feet when Stephen was stoned and agreeing to it, we're told. It was Paul that got fired up. He was a crusader that went and arrested the Christians. Had some of them put to death, took the property of other ones, imprisoned some different ones. Paul fought as hard against Jesus and the followers as anybody had up to that time. But yet when Jesus came into his life, when he was blinded by the light, when he heard the voice, "Saul, Saul, why does thou persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I am the Jesus whom you're persecuting." When Paul heard that, he changed everything. He got forgiveness. He got the Lord of his life. He got the fire to work. Now, I'm telling you today that Paul is no different from us physically. Well, he's short and probably short and heavy like I am, but and a lot of you aren't. But, I mean, he, two arms, two legs, you know, those kind of things. He liked people. He liked learning. But he loved God and his son. And we're no different from that. Paul was visited and given the Holy Spirit, just like Christians are today. Second chapter of Acts goes ahead and tells us the story. They stopped Peter and said, "What must we do? How can we be saved?" "We're wrong," the Jews said. "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Upon our baptism, upon coming out of the water, when our sins are released, God's Spirit comes into us. He's our guide. He's our comforter. He's our strength. And through him, great things can be accomplished. Not that we do it, but he helps us to do it. So don't ever say, "I'm too small, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too female, I'm too male, I don't too poor, too rich." Don't ever say that. Because I do have a feeling that if you let God use you, God will use you. And that's a promise that's been made to us. Let us be the one that goes looking for those to help. Let us be the one that goes looking for people who don't know the Lord. Let us be the one who goes looking for those who need to be comforted or shared. Or when the virus will go away, a good handshake or a pat on the back. Right now, a fist bump's okay by me. Let us be the one that looks for that. Because the reward does not come from people who see us do it. It comes to our heart from God watching us do it. Our hymn of invitation decision today for those who have not made the choice to serve Jesus Christ is hymn number 523.